Hockey Insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre.
How you doing, Simon?
I'm doing very well. Sometimes, Pierre, we do this. You know, we come in and we got to talk sports and we talk a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football. But I thoroughly enjoy going home, sitting on the couch, and whether it's a football game that I love or a hockey game that I love, and being thoroughly entertained. And sometimes it's not always about the W's. I'm a fan of the Lakers. I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears. But it's a busy day. Got a wife, two kids, got a mortgage, all that stuff. And sometimes we just need to sit our behinds and be entertained. And I was so thrilled with that hockey game. I just loved the compete level. I loved everything about that game, except in the manner in which it ended. And that was the shootout. And I want to get your thoughts. A game of this magnitude, Pierre, do you like the fact that it ends in a shootout?
In 2007, when Jonathan Toews put on his magic show along with Carey Price from Leksand, Sweden, and Canada beat the United States in the semifinal, did you have the same reaction?
I did, but I will tell you this. I said I understand your schedules, and it's a tournament, and it's a semifinal game. But when we get to the gold medal game, none of those young men yesterday had a curfew, and I thought that they can play 20 more. I know what you're saying. You know, and I'm not even a fan of shootout in the NHL games. But I understand we need a result. But I'm just saying, when it's the gold medal game, Pierre, I'd love Sidney Crosby's golden goal. It was a goal, and you're sitting and you're watching it, and you explode. And I just find the way it plays out with a shootout, you stop, save, next shooter, it's anticlimactic. That's all. That's what I felt yesterday.
Well, the one big piece of business coming out of it is it was a back-to-back semifinal to final, and the Americans played an overtime and a shootout, obviously earlier in the day in the semifinal against the Russians, but they still had to do it. The biggest thing that I can tell you is I think there's a lot of soul-searching that has to go on. Gord Miller asked me about it today. I was talking to him. He was driving to Toronto. I was driving to Boston. And I said the biggest thing I would do is play 5 minutes of 5-on-5, 5 minutes of 4-on-4, and it's going to end. It's going to end 4-on-4 if it doesn't end 5-on-5. But you could see, Simon, that the skill level of the players on both teams had dissipated to the points where it was going to have a major fumble by either team to have a goal. The guys just didn't have it anymore. And he talked to Colin White right after the game, the Boston College superstar, first-round pick of the Ottawa Senators. And he said, we had nothing left to give. Well, that's tough to do to kids, I can tell you that, especially kids that aren't getting paid.
Yeah, it is. Pierre, I just want to talk about USA Hockey here for a second. And I'd like for you to take me back and you tell me when they turned things around. Because growing up, watching a lot of hockey in the 80s and the 90s, and I remember these American squads. They were big. They were physical. You know, even look at the professional level when you looked at, you know, when they beat Canada at the World Cup, the Hatcher boys on the blue line, and they had Keith Tkachuk and Jeremy Roenick, all big physical players. But it seems at some point they said, look, this took us this far, but we need to reevaluate here, and we need to add skill, whether it comes in the form of a 6'4" power forward or it comes in the form of a 5'9" 160-pound kid. We need to add more skill to our hockey. And at what point did they make this transition?
Right after Pardubice in the Czech Republic in 2008. I can tell you, John Hines was coaching. He's a coach of the New Jersey Devils. And he wanted to know why Canada had so much success at the World Junior. And I told him straight up, I said, Johnny, the biggest thing with the Canadians is they make their players earn their way onto the team. The Americans just pick players and say, you're on it. Doesn't matter what the tryout form is. Doesn't matter what you've done. We liked you as a player. You're on it. Well, in Canada, that doesn't happen. There have been players that have been cut through. Dan Cleary got cut three times. Mike Comrie got cut. These guys kept going back. Canada made it important for the players to understand making the team was an amazing honor and a privilege that you had to earn every day. Whereas the Americans used to say, we like you a lot as a player, you're on the team. It changed after 07. They completely changed the formula. They had the tryout camp in Lake Placid. They had the tryout camp going in to the tournament, just like Canada does. So it really changed a lot after 07.
Pierre, you know, watching the tournament, I know the Canadians play in the Ottawa Senators division. I know you do Ottawa radio. Pierre Dorion was quoted as saying this is the best prospect pool the Ottawa Senators have ever had. And I'm watching that gold medal game. Thomas Chabot doesn't get off the ice for Team Canada. He was maybe the most impressive player in the tournament. You already mentioned Colin White. He looks like a dynamo also for the Senators. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if you have Chabot and Carlson playing together down the road, this Senators team could be real scary real soon.
Well, I've been saying this for a long time. When Pierre Dorion had the courage to send Thomas Chabot back to junior, and he didn't sign Colin White coming out of Boston College, he had to be thinking about the prospects of having his guys develop at the World Junior Tournament in Canada. And that's exactly how it's played out. Good on Pierre Dorion, good on Randy Lee, the assistant general manager, and good on Brian Murray for allowing this to happen, along with Eugene Melnyk, the owner. The World Junior is the best developmental tool that any NHL team can have. If your guy goes there and plays great, he's almost ready to play for you. If your guy goes there and dominates, he is ready to play for you. And that's what you saw with the two guys from Ottawa. So it's a huge piece of news. Chabot's going to come in and be really good. Colin White's going to come in and be their version of Patrice Bergeron. They're going to be in a real good spot going forward.
So White, you mentioned, he plays at Boston College. Chabot plays in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League with the Sea Dogs. And Pierre, every week I host a junior hockey show, and we talk a lot about minor sports specifically. And I'm wondering, you know, just looking at the trends and where things are going, if you had a son who was 15, 16, 17 years old, and you had to give the advice on if they should play junior hockey or college hockey, which route do you think you would send them in?
You're going to just speak from personal experience. I have a 14-year-old that's kind of in that fray right now.
Yeah.
And he left home. He's at a prep school in Boston. He doesn't live at home anymore. He lives alone. He's the youngest kid living at the school that he goes to. He likes that life. He wants to go to college. I'm not telling him what to do. He has to choose what he wants to do. If he had come to me and said, you know what, Dad, I want to go play major junior, we'd have to talk about how he planned on doing it. But he had a plan that he wanted to play college hockey. He chose to come to this school in Boston, and that's where he is. But I can speak to it. There's no right answer that overcomes everybody. You have to be able, every person's decision is personal, and I mean that sincerely. I was a college hockey coach. I chose to do that. I chose to recruit against kids that could have gone to major junior, could have gone to college. Some we got to come to college, some went major junior. Some, actually, one of them, Jamie's his brother, Sean came to play for us at St. Lawrence, and then he went to play for Sudbury Wolves, and he played in the NHL. So every guy's got a different route. You have to decide what you're comfortable with.
Pierre, I want to get local here for a second with some of the Canadians players at the tournament. Just want to get your thoughts on Mikhail Sergachev's tournament. Also, Noah Juulsen, who came into this tournament with Canada. I kind of got the feel that he was a lower pairing guy, but as the tournament went along and his responsibilities increased.
Well, his responsibilities increased after Philip Myers, the Philadelphia Flyers signee, became injured during the U.S. game New Year's Eve afternoon. When Philip Myers went down, that changed everything for Noah Juulsen. Noah played a good tournament. He'll need some time in the American Hockey League. I think the Canadians know that. Sergachev's going to be ready for prime time next year. I was worried about him when he blocked the shot in the bronze medal game against Sweden yesterday. But I thought as the tournament went along, he got better and better. I was completely disillusioned with the Russian coaches in the first game against Canada. He hardly played. I mean, he started out playing, and then they just sat him down. I was like, what are they doing? And I asked one of the Russian players in the NHL why Bragin, the coach from Russia, would do that. And he said he just wants to make sure that Sergachev knows that he's playing for Russia and he's not playing for major junior hockey. So I don't know what goes on there. But that being said, I thought Sergachev had a really good tournament.
Pierre, yesterday in the crowd, Rene Fasel, the president of the IIHF Hockey Federation, and Commissioner Bettman were sitting there. When could us, the fan base, know whether or not NHL players will be at the 2018 games?
Probably by the middle part, if not the later part of January. That's about the drop-dead date. This is high-stakes Russian roulette for both sides, plus the Players Association. I don't think money is a part of this anymore in terms of insurance costs, travel costs. I think the biggest problem is what are they doing with the collective bargaining agreement. The Players Association is playing that chip in the game, and the NHL owners and the NHL are playing that chip in the game. So it's high-stakes Russian roulette. In my heart of hearts, I still believe we're going, but I'm probably biased because I'm going no matter what. Do I want to see the best players in the world go there? Yeah, I do. But either way, I'm going. So if we don't have the best players, we don't have the best players. But I think it'd be a disservice to the NHL and the potential for growth in the hockey world if we don't send the best players.
Brendan Gallagher out, Pierre, for a minimum of 8 weeks. The Shea Weber shot broke the fingers, not the fingers that he hurt last year, another set of fingers on his hand. Pierre, how does it work in the general managers community? Marc Bergevin, for me, from the outside looking in, doesn't seem to be in a position of strength. I, yourself, and every other general manager knows that his lineup is depleted of his regulars. How vulnerable is he right now, and how does he have to protect himself from making a deal that he may regret going forward?
Well, the good news for him is that they put a ton of points in the bank earlier in the season, so he's not in full-on scramble mode. Chances are he's getting Galchenyuk and Markov back sooner rather than later. I don't know what's going on with Andrew Shaw. Obviously, that's a bit of a problem, too. You worry a little about Paul Byron. But I would say that he doesn't have to panic. One of the unfortunate things for the Canadiens is they're not in a huge position of strength only because of the injuries, but also because they don't have a gigantic player pool in terms of top-end prospects like Boston does, like Philadelphia does, like Tampa does. Like Minnesota does. Those teams are so prospect-rich, they could trade prospects to get established players. That's not the case with Montreal, so it's a little bit of a bind for Mark. It really is.
Pierre, Canadians now with the injury are weak on the right side. They're already weak on the right side to begin with, and over time, you've always had a good gauge on when players still have something left in the tank. Think back to Mark Recchi being one guy you'd tell us about. Yep. Whitney would be another guy. And of course, I'm wondering about Jerome Iginla. I brought him up during the scrum. Right winger, and obviously, one of the best power forwards of my generation. How much does Jerome have left in the tank?
I don't think there's a fit in Montreal because you don't, outside of Galchenyuk, and you're not going to take Radulov positioning away, outside of Galchenyuk, you don't have the pure center ice position going 2-3-4. You got good depth players, but not elite puck-transporting, puck-distributing centers. And I say that, listen, Thomas has had a great career. Darnay is a very good depth player, but they're not the elite guys you have to have, especially when you look at the potential matchups in the Eastern Conference. I'm not sure Jerome's a fit. If you were to tell me that Chicago was going after Jerome or St. Louis was going after Jerome, I'd say that's more of a fit. If you were to tell me potentially Tampa might have interest in Jerome, I'd say that's more of a fit. I don't see a real great fit in Montreal.
Pierre, Canadiens in action tomorrow versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. How different will this Leafs team look compared to the Leafs team the Canadiens handled twice at the beginning of the year?
They're totally different. They're really good. They're really deep. Kadri's a pain in the butt to play against. He's very effective. I give Babcock total credit for creating that role for Kadri and for Kadri to buy in. Auston Matthews, and I call this line Auston and the Animals. Connor Brown and Zach Hyman. That line with Auston Matthews is lethal. And the only reason I call them that is because Mike Babcock, when I interviewed him during the Centennial Classic in the first period, he said, look at Auston Matthews, great, but look at the two animals that play with him. And he's talking about Connor Brown and Zach Hyman. Both guys are big. Both guys can skate. Both guys are nasty. They're really good board players. And that allows Auston Matthews to be as creative as all get out. So this team is lethal. Mitch Marner's phenomenal. Bozak's really gotten comfortable in the two-hole playing with Van Riemsdyk and Marner. Morgan Riley's really starting to figure out what he's about. They're really a good team. I think Toronto, before the season started, Simon and Mitch Gallo, I had them in the battle for 8 or 9. I think realistically they can be one of the top 8 teams in the East.
Do you think they need to part ways with one of those forwards that they have to get a defenseman to help out Morgan Riley?
They may have to do it, but I don't know if I part ways with the players. I may part ways with a first-round pick. What they've done, and I give Mark Hunter a ton of credit. Now, again, people aren't going to know these players, but they've got a kid from Latvia that's a big-time player playing in the Quebec Major Junior League. He's got an awesome chance to play. They got a kid playing for Russia that's got an awesome chance to play. They've got some weaponry that Mark Hunter and their scouting staff have found deeper in the draft that are going to play in the league. So they may be able to play with a pick. And let me just tell you, this is not a great draft. This summer's not a great draft. It's an okay draft. It's not great at all. It's an okay draft. They may be able to package a pick and maybe a prospect that you don't know about to get a defenseman.
Pierre, thanks for taking the time all week. Always a pleasure. And what's that thing about the Melnick and the rub in the tub there? He'll be back on Monday. So you hit him with that.
No, I never said those words. I said you can't make the club if you lay in the tub.
Yeah, that was it.
Thank you, Pierre.
See you later. Bye, boys.
Enjoy the weekend. Mitch Melnick will be back on Monday. I'll be in on the Montreal Forum. Where will you be, Gallo?
What were you talking about? Rubbing the tub.
I remember that thing Pierre said a couple of weeks ago about Melnick. Pretty much sitting on the fence there.
You can't make the club if you stay in the tub.
If you're sitting in the tub.
If you're sitting in the tub.
Can't make the club if you're sitting.
Where am I going to be Monday?
Yes.
Right here.
Drive show.
Doing my regular job.
Responsibilities.
That I did last week.
Anchoring
and
it down.
Next week, and I'll do the week after. Unless.
Yes, sir.
I win that Lotto Max.
Oh, baby.
And you told me not to come back.
60 million. Dave's coming in, though. If you want to hang with Dave, he's coming. If you win $60 million, if you win $60 million tonight, Dave is going to come in on Monday.
I'll be here tomorrow morning with the weekend game plan.
Well, awesome. You'll be here
tomorrow
with Matt Ross.
Well, if he can plug his show.
So hold on a second. You're going to win $60 million and not even sleep in tonight.
No.
Wow.
I'm on the air.
Gotta live your life.
I'm on the air at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Do you think that has anything to do with age? Because Dave, how old are you?
30.
So I'm 14 years older than Dave.
Yeah.
So you think that has anything to do with age?
Mm.
You think if Melnick won $60 million on Friday night, you think he's coming in? No, not coming in. How about Tony?
No.
Tony's not coming in?
No.
Connor, Sean?
Sean definitely.
Sean Starr definitely coming in.
Oh, Sean Starr.
Sean Starr, no. Sean Starr will be somewhere golfing.
Well, he likes.
Saturday.
He likes Jamaica.
Saturday, Jamaica. 5 p.m. Sean Starr. If Sean Starr wins the $60 million on Friday night,
he's in Jamaica on
Friday,
Saturday.
Yeah, he's on the first flight out at Pierre Elliott Trudeau Airport Saturday morning. He's in a tee box by noon. Connor.
I don't think so.
60 mil.
Campbell?
Campbell's going to work
He's
doubles.
He's going to do a triple.
Campbell's going to work doubles. Simon Salikas, Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentanui. This is Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period right after the 5:30 update.